B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk Sox and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper and Murray, final hour here. 98.5 The Sports Hub. So are we going to get a game tomorrow, Chris? Pats, Browns, or is it going to be like last week against Detroit? Great. Like, they got back on track, and you know, you want to win either way. You know, get back to 500. You know, it feels like this is going to be the get-right stretch. But for me, I don't know, like, when we're going to spend a week talking about this game after the fact. I just know, and no one cares about this, but for us, I know by Wednesday, I was like, there's nothing left to talk about with this game. Can we get a competitive game? Will we get that from Cleveland tomorrow?
I mean, I think you'll get semi-competitive, maybe for a half or so. You know, the thing with the Patriots is that, and we saw this last year too, when they jump out to a lead, especially against these teams that aren't really equipped, these quarterback challenge teams, they just sort of put you in the old sleeper hold, you know, and choke the life out of you. They're a difficult team to come back against. So the Browns have to really sort of stick with them for, you know, the beginning of the game to make it a game. If the Patriots build one of those 17-0, 20-0 leads, then that's it. It's over. They're not going to let them back in the game with Brissett having to throw all the time.
Yeah. Who do you like on that team? I mean, Myles Garrett's a standout. Do you think he's overrated? We heard from a Browns fan earlier that said, you know, he's a lot of bark, no bite.
I think he's a good player.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he's a very good player, very disruptive player. I don't watch them all the time. I don't know what he does against the run. I mean, you know, a player of that stature, you'd like to think that they can impact defensively the game when the other team passes and runs. I remember when the Patriots played them, I think it was last year, they were able to run, I believe, to his side. So, you know, no Jadeveon Clowney tomorrow, no Denzel Ward. They're a little banged up. I do like Njoku. I like Chubb. I like Hunt. I like that offensive line, I think, is good. I like Amari Cooper, even though the Patriots have had a lot of success over the years washing him out in games. I mean, they're a talented team. There's talent on that team.
Right, but they're still the Cleveland effing Browns. And this is the thing. Like, you look at them, you're like, oh, this could be a competitive game. I understand, you know, the Browns favored by 2.5. They're coming off a disappointing loss. They blow a 14-point lead to the Chargers last week. And they're dealing with some injuries. Jadeveon Clowney, Denzel Ward already ruled out. I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe they're, you know, they're going to have some pep in their step to prove, you know, the doubters wrong. Because after a bad loss and they're still at home and they're playing a team that, again, on paper is comparative to them. And I just think they're still going to do Cleveland things to make it Clevelandy.
Yeah, turning the ball over, maybe having some busted coverages. A real key to this game, obviously, as much as we talk about the Patriots stopping Nick Chubb in that Cleveland running game, it's Cleveland. You look at all the advanced metrics. I know we just trashed, you know, we just went and trashed a bunch of advanced metrics, but the advanced metrics say this Cleveland run defense is among the worst in the NFL. And just statistically, they rank 28th in the NFL. And what the Patriots do best is run the football. And you saw that with Ramondre Stevenson last week against Detroit. I expect a heavy dose of Ramondre Stevenson again. He ran for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns against this team last year. If the Patriots can run the football, possess the football, set up play action, and Cleveland has no answer for their running game, then I don't see how Cleveland competes in this game.
Yeah, me either. And I was thinking about it, too, because this is a team that the Patriots do face every few years, it feels like. I was like, when's the last time they won Cleveland?
Oh, I know. I was at this game.
The Peyton Hillis game.
The Chancey Stuckey game.
Why do you refer to it as the Chancey Stuckey game?
Because ran that, like, weird, like, fumble Ruski type play. Do you remember this?
I just remember Peyton Hillis went off.
He did. But they scored like a touchdown or something on this weird, like, it was like, because Daboll was the offensive coordinator, Mangini was there, and they ran this like weird, I think it was Chancey Stuckey. They ran this weird, like, sort of fake fumble Ruski type play that went to Chancey Stuckey.
And I think that was also the game that was like the Mankins had a holdout prior to that game, right? And then they came after that, they signed him. Like, there was a real, because the Patriots really couldn't move the ball. They get blown out 34-14. And in my head, before I looked up the all-time record, I'm like, I think it's been that's the last time a Cleveland. Sure enough, it's the last time the Browns beat the Patriots. 11-7-2010. 12 years ago. Prior to that, 2000. In other words, they've beat them twice in 20 years.
Wow.
Browns, man. Like, doesn't matter how much talent they have. They're going to do Browns things. And again, you don't care. You want them to win. Great. I would like to see a competitive product tomorrow. That's all. That's all I'm looking for. Patriots win. Great. Get back to 500. You right the wrongs of the early part of this season. Feel better. You get some wind to your sails. The AFC feels down this year. You feel better about their chances of squeaking into the playoffs as a wild card team. Great. Want all that. I would like to see a competitive product, because that last week, Chris, I thought the first drive, 0-0, going forward at midfield, stopped on 4th-and-1. It's like, well, the rest of this is a formality. What are the Lions going to do to screw up the rest of this game up, because it's already over? You just lost, you morons, because you're still the effing Lions. And I fear we're going to get that tomorrow, as someone who'd like to see a competitive product.
So just going back, I just looked at, yeah, it was. So Chancey Stuckey scored. The game was 10-7, Browns, and he scored an 11-yard touchdown on a fumble Ruski that put them up. I remember that play. So that's why I say the Chancey Stuckey. Because I also remember, like, Daboll and Mangini were, like, high-fiving like children on the sideline when they got that, because they really pulled one over on Bill and they got it to work.
One of the great loser organizations in all of sports, that team.
That is one where, like, if you want to push back against my argument, oh, you know, and we'll see what happens with Watson, if he's still the same guy, whatever his off-field issues are, if he's able to play, if he's able to even stay on the field, or this gets worse. But if you want to push back against me saying a franchise quarterback is the most important element, and as long as you have that, the rest of it doesn't matter, you could look at the Browns ownership with Jimmy and Dee Haslam. I mean, that is an example of ownership that is just completely shambolic and destroying a proud franchise. That fan who called mentioned, we can't get a good coach. Well, why do you think that is? You know, the Haslams. Word is out. Like, these are people you don't want to work for.
Right.
And that they're too involved and that they meddle too much. And remember, they were the ones that brought in, speaking of analytics, they were really big into analytics. They brought in, who did they bring in?
Oh, that, yeah,
Paul
the DePodesta. Baseball nerd. Yeah.
That was like, everything had to go through like DePodesta. So it's again, so if you want to push back against that, you got a pretty good case with the Browns and their ownership group right now.
Mike from Woburn wants to weigh in on the nerds. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, listen. Controllers with Accords, we are the basically the our parents' generation of we walk to school both ways, yeah. Uphill, you know, controllers with cords. Like, my kids look like, you know what? And the other thing is, when you're pissed, you can swing it around and smash it against the floor way better with a cord. But the nerds, like, Jim, I can't tell you how much I hate the hockey nerds who try to tell you that, like, that soulless automatons like Louis Erickson you win championships with. Like, how many times do we have to hear how good Louis Erickson was? You know, he was, you know, oh, look at his analytics. Look at his numbers. Look at how good he is. He has the same facial expression. He does nothing physically, and he just sits in front of the net and collects points off of Bergeron and Marchand. All we heard about was the numbers until he goes out to Vancouver and they have the IKEA line that has less emotion than a bag of frozen meatballs, and they suck, and he's out of the league. They basically can't give him away at the end of his contract. And it's the same in football, and it's the same in baseball. Baseball, I can understand it because it's very, everything is very like isolated. So I understand why they kind of play numbers in baseball, but football, you still have numbers can't account for aggression. They can't account for courage. They can't account for physicality. There's no way to quantify these things, you know? And so you're taking all the emotion out of the sport, and it's becoming like, I'm going to put this thing in the computer and it's supposed to play out this way. And when it doesn't, you look like a fool, like the Raiders did when they didn't just kick the field goal. I mean, the extra point.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes me crazy. It makes me crazy because there's no place for it. There really isn't. In terms of game management and whatnot, it's all, like you said, we're right if it works and we're right if it doesn't work because it was the correct decision. No, you're wrong. You're wrong because you're concentrating on a slide rule instead of what your athletes are telling you.
Yeah, it's infuriating, Mike. And with that, and thanks for the call, we have breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, an update on the Patriots and some roster decisions ahead of tomorrow's game at the Cleveland Browns. Reading from Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal. saying the Patriots have downgraded cornerback Jonathan Jones with an ankle and wide receiver Nelson Agholor, hamstring, frying pan for hands is really why he's out, for tomorrow's game. So Jones, Agholor, out for tomorrow's game. Meaning Mac Jones has not been downgraded out, which suggests that Mac Jones is making the trip to Cleveland, Chris. Patriots also didn't downgrade running back Damian Harris, who, according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network earlier in the week, said he was going to be missing a few games, so something to watch there, but a surprise.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But Mac Jones sounds like he's made the trip to Cleveland. So there's your news there. Mac Jones going to Cleveland as of right now. It's being reported. Mac Jones not downgraded out. We'll come back and give you our thoughts on this because I find it interesting. If he is traveling with the team, I think hoodie, sweatpants, sideline, clipboard, you know, maybe calling in some plays or, you know, giving the pep talk to young Bailey Zappi. You dress him tomorrow and he's on the sideline. I think that's bad optics. I'll explain why, and we'll get Chris's thoughts on this next.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Braun Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back, Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub. So again, Mac Jones, as of right now, I haven't seen anything else contrary to reports that he is traveling with the team. But Jonathan Jones and Nelson Agholor not playing tomorrow. Agholor ruled out. I know he pulled up lame with that hamstring thing last week, but
yep.
I don't know. He's like a turnover waiting to happen. I can't help but also, you know, the conspiracy theorist in me is like, yeah, why don't you sit this one out there, frying pan hands? But Mac Jones not ruled out of tomorrow's game. I don't think you can dress him like and have him back up Bailey Zappi. If he's ready to go, he should be ready to go. Otherwise, I think that kind of sets a bad precedent and makes it look like, okay, more mobility here at practice this week. Looks like you're ready to go. If you're dressed, you feel like you're ready to go. But we're going to go with Bailey Zappi. That, to me, would signify that there is a thing there between Bill and Mac Jones.
Oh, that would 100% fan the flames of any sort of quarterback controversy.
You know? Because if he's not healthy enough, but you're healthy enough to back up, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I guess maybe there is, if he's going to play next week and they feel like he is, maybe there's some value to having him there on the sideline. If he doesn't dress, you know, if he ends up being declared out tomorrow, maybe they feel like there's value to having him on the sideline, involved in the operation, involved in what's going on, listening to the play calls, maybe there for Zappi. I don't know, but it seems like it's interesting to me that he would travel and then not dress. And as you said, then it's interesting that he would dress and then not play.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that doesn't really make sense. So this is really fascinating. This is kind of getting good at this point in terms of what's going to happen. This is me. I don't know what his level of health is at this point. And certainly he's looked better in the little videos that we've seen. And we haven't heard anything about who took most of the first team reps this week. I would sit him out this game. I think you can beat, and I know Bill said it's completely independent, but I don't think it is. And I think human nature is that if you feel like it's going well, in other words, if they had been blown out against Green Bay and gotten, if they had lost 29-0 to Detroit, don't you think there'd be a lot more urgency to get Mac Jones back on the field?
Yeah, I would think that.
It's going well with Zappi. Some of you have Zappi fever.
True.
If it were me, I would let Mac Jones sit out one more week. You're playing a Monday night game the following week. He gets an extra day.
Right.
I mean, this was supposed to be a 4 to 6 week injury. And I think next week, if that game's on the 24th,
it'd be like the month.
Would be a month.
Yeah.
So now he's coming back in 3 weeks.
feels premature. I think you're putting him in harm's way, or he's putting himself in harm's way. Look, I actually, while I'm no real fan of him, I would tip the old proverbial cap to Mac Jones and that he's trying to tough this out and get back out there. And maybe that's because he's feeling pressured by the team. But I don't know. Like, it comes down to this. If he's at 70% or 100% Bailey Zappe, what would you prefer to have tomorrow against a team I think you should be able to beat? I would go with Zappe. And this isn't just because I got the FIFA. I just think if you're looking at Mac Jones and just Mac Jones himself as a quarterback brand, and I know like there's no I in team and all that, but you do have to think a little bit longer term. And I think that that's one of the reasons he didn't want to get this tightrope surgery. And I don't blame him there.
Yes.
That thing's relatively new. He knows teammates of his at Alabama that got it, that, that second one seemingly didn't work out for Tua. So maybe he's had people in his ear saying like, yeah, you don't want to do this. There hasn't really been long-term research on that surgery. I don't blame him. I don't. So, what's the rush here? Again, I think you got a bit of a lamb here. I know it's a road game, and they're close to you on paper, but you should beat them. Like, they should be okay with Zappe tomorrow. Wait until next week against Chicago.
Well, there's a couple of angles to this, so I'm going to start with the first one, which is if Bill plays Mac Jones, who clearly won't be 100%, what would you say the highest percentage he would be tomorrow? I would put it at 75.
Yeah, 70, 75%, okay. Something like that.
What does that say about Bill's case of Zappe fever if he puts Mac Jones out there at 75% versus Zappe?
Not great.
Yeah. It says the same
thing. He's had his maxination.
Yeah. It says the same thing that what they did, not even looking at the end zone on that drive at the end of the first half, playing for the field goal, said. So it says Bill doesn't have the Zappe fever if he does that. Also, there's a long-term, big-picture thing here for me, which is you should not put Mac Jones out on the field when he is hobbled or hampered, because it could set him back in terms of you trying to get a gauge of what his level of growth is this year and ultimately who he is as a quarterback. Is he middling Mac, as you and I sort of believe, or is he capable of being a top 10 quarterback? Is he closer to like a Dak Prescott?
Oh, he's certainly not that, please. 617-779-0985.
Wow, that was definitive.
I mean, Dak Prescott's good.
Wow. These are shots from Jim.
Henry in Norfolk, what do you think about Zappe v. Jones tomorrow? Who would you prefer to see against Cleveland?
So I'm thinking we start Zappe tomorrow over Jones. I think he's a very comparable quarterback to Jacoby Brissett. I think that's what he's gotten in line for his future. And also, I don't know what you guys talked about Brady and Giselle yet, but I think there's any coincidence that he's back in town because he just broke up with Giselle?
Well, he was back in New York because Robert Kraft got married last night. That's in, you know, the game's in Pittsburgh for the Bucks tomorrow, so that's a pretty easy travel day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that had anything Giselle related. She's down in, like, Miami or whatever with, like, spiritual gurus in staging her car. Everything that pops up about her, I just get infinitely more annoyed. Like, good for you, Tom. Like, run. God. There was also this from Adrian Wojnarowski, who just tweeted a few minutes ago. Okay. Noah Vonleh has made the Celtics opening night roster.
Oh.
Capped his preseason with a 14.13 rebound game against Charlotte. Former lottery pick. He played last season in China. So Noah Vonleh on the Celtics.
Local opening, guy?
Opening night roster. Yeah, that's a good little story, which will get annoying within like 2 weeks. Dean in Shrewsbury on the Celtics wants to talk about Grant Williams, who blew out a shoe last night. Go ahead, Dean.
Graham Williams can absolutely cover Joel Embiid. The Dork Knight shut down the Joker on two different occasions. He slowed down Giannis. He played Kevin Durant tough for a few possessions. He can absolutely take on Embiid. We'd need more people back rebounding. That would be a problem, but I think he would be worth it.
Thanks, Dean. I just love that you're calling him the Dork Knight.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I know. I kind of like that.
But what? Straight up, he can defend Joel Embiid?
I don't know. But it's a good point Dean raises, though. I mean, he did play the two-time defending MVP exceptionally well, Jokic. I mean, he did a pretty good job on him. I mean, that was notable. I personally felt that Embiid should have been the MVP, but that's just me.
No, he had a monster season last year. Are they ever going to get over the hump? Probably not.
Is he ever going to make it through a season fully healthy in a playoffs?
No.
I say no way.
No way. No, he's going to have like the injury-riddled thing that Anthony Davis has had his whole career.
Yeah.
I just think a guy that size, when you start getting – and early on, you know, this is what Marty's career early, and the whole trust the process thing. When you're dealing with like lower extremity issues, when you're that size, no matter your talent, you're not going to have a long career. Period. End of story.
I agree. Also, I have to be honest. I think there's a little bit of Allen Iverson in him where he doesn't take the best care of his body. You know, I think there could be a little more dedication to the craft from Embiid.
Are there stories that what, like he's a party boy?
I don't think he's a party. I don't think he's like a Kobe or one of these, or like Jaylen Brown, who's like obsessed with, you know, body maintenance. And I mean, does Embiid strike you as that guy?
No, I would buy
that's like obsessive about practice and body maintenance and all that stuff.
No, he'd probably be on the couch, you know, playing PS5.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Putting in the work. Yeah, that's my only point. Yeah.
617-779-0985. So what do you make of this? Mac Jones is traveling with the Patriots to Cleveland tomorrow. Is he going to start? That remains to be seen. You want him starting, or do you still got the Zappy fever? And you want to see Bailey Zappe against the Cleveland Browns tomorrow. 617-779-0985. One more segment of your calls coming up before we get to five questions. Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports here on Gasper and Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
.org. Chris Gasper. Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back, Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Again, you're just tuning in. The Patriots did not downgrade Mac Jones or Damian Harris as they're traveling to Cleveland today. So, but the curious thing is to whether or not Mac Jones is going to start against the Browns tomorrow. And I think most people thought, yeah, it's still going to be the Bailey Zappe FIFA game. And then you'll see him next week against Chicago. So Mac Jones could play tomorrow. Nelson Agholor and Jonathan Jones, they have been ruled out. Before we get to your calls on this, just because it's a big day in college football. And so far this Penn State-Michigan game has lived up to the hype. Penn State's up 14-3. Before they 14-13.
Because as you know, I'm paying close attention to this.
Right, yeah, we've lost Chris here for the last
Penn State
hour and
scored
a
defensive touchdown to take the lead.
But coming up later this afternoon, a lot of hype surrounding this Alabama-Tennessee game. And I get it. Like, this is, you know, it's in Knoxville. Tennessee's been good so far. Yes. Alabama looks really vulnerable. Alabama's going to blow the doors off of Tennessee today. This just is one of those things, and there's some numbers to back this up, too, but it was just a gut thing to me. Like, any time that there's so much hype surrounding a game like this, you're going to really doubt Nick Saban. And I know they're a bit of a flawed Alabama team compared to ones that have been in the past.
They're hoping – so you're assuming Bryce Young's going to play, or you don't care either way?
I kind of don't care either way, Chris.
Wow, okay.
Here's in the Nick Saban era, when getting – so 25% of the bets are on Alabama. Right? They're -8.5 at Tennessee. In the Nick Saban era, when getting 30% or less of bets, Alabama 4-0 against the spread, and Bama covered those games by an average of 16 points per game.
Oof.
They're going to be up for this. And I know they looked vulnerable last week against A&M. And again, it's not these aren't your father's Crimson Tide. You watch. You think that's, there's the game of the week. What a marquee week at college football. And so far, again, this Penn State-Michigan game has been very interesting. Now Michigan's up 16-14 going to the half. They're going to blow the doors off the balls today. And it's going to be great for misery porn, which I like that. By that, I mean, like, the crowd shots. You watch. Mark my words, and I'm usually wrong. But on these type of things with predictions.
Oh, and the Tennessee fans are whiny, too. Like, man, if it starts going bad for them.
I don't even want to sing Rocky Top, which is a great, great fight song.
It is a great fight song.
Good.
So can I just be honest, like, as a college football fan overall and as a Florida State fan as well, as a fan of another once great program that has fallen and can't get up, I'm rooting for the Vols. I think it's good when Tennessee's good. And I hate seeing some of these great programs just sort of go into the abyss. I saw something like this is the first time since like 1989 both of these teams are ranked in the top like six or something that they're meeting. I mean, when I was younger, like this was a pretty big game. Alabama, you know, third Saturday in October. This was it. Alabama, Tennessee, third Saturday in October.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I hate Alabama. I'm not rooting for them. This feels like the hype's too much. The hype's too much surrounding Tennessee. I had some, you know, gambling numbers to back it up. It was just a gut thing. I woke up this morning feeling like, I'll watch. Bama's going to kill them today.
Are you putting your money where your mouth is?
I wish I could, Chris, but I'd have to drive over to the border of Rhode Island or New Hampshire because this effing state has its head so far up its ass with the sports gambling. Oh, let's wait until after the Super Bowl, you morons.
Well, they have to wait until they have to wait until they do the road work first, and then they'll make do the betting.
And who was it? It's this one woman. I mean, it's Lifshatz and Joe Murray you want to hear, especially Lifshatz, who's lost his mind, rightfully so, about this. There's one woman that's apparently gumming up the works, and she put out some quote saying, like, well, we're concerned about the casinos being overcrowded. They want to be overcrowded, you moron. They want the business. People want the money. Like, and they want to spend the money. And I wish, it's a gut thing. I wish I could have taken my morning dump and placed that bet and put my money where my mouth is today, but I can't. And I'm not going to do it after the show because I want to squeeze in nine holes. It's so annoying. John in East Boston on Mac Jones. You want to see him starting even if he's at like 75% or less tomorrow in Cleveland, John?
No, yeah. I mean, I think we should just drop that whole, like, is Mac Jones going to play speculation. Like, if he's 75%, you know, you're obviously not going to want to put him in that situation. I think the real question is if Zappe does good come this upcoming game, like, whether you throw him back out against Cleveland. But at the same time, I think if he does have a good game, you know, you essentially, and Mac's healthy, you give Mac back the shot. Let him see if he can redeem himself. But obviously, if that's not going to be the case, then just, you know, it's always next man up mentality in Patriots for the Patriots. So, you know, Bailey Zappe would just obviously have to earn it, but obviously would have to show a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing with this is, you know, people enamored of Bailey Zappe. I understand it, and I understand it's interesting to watch the team. And I actually think the team was turning the corner a little bit offensively when Mac Jones got hurt. You know, they put up 26 points in that Baltimore game. I know he threw the three picks. I think you have to look at small picture, big picture. Small picture is, look, they can win these games with Bailey Zappe. I think they can beat Cleveland. I think they could beat Chicago. I think they could beat the Jets. I think they could beat Indy. But ultimately, if you want to get back to Super Bowl contention and you want to close the gap on the Bills, who are now the AFC East overlords, what you used to be, do you think Zappe's a good enough quarterback with a high enough ceiling to do that? Or is the guy that's more likely to do that, believe it or not, this is coming from me, Mac Jones?
Eh, I mean, they're both whatever, but I think there's more unknown with Bailey Zappe, so I think that's why some people like myself have the Zappe fever. That's all.
I mean, no, I get it. And if that's honest,
I'll give you this. At least he was the one player on the roster that was game in that playoff blowout last year.
Yeah, Mac was. Yeah, totally. And so that's the thing. I think you can sort of fool yourself into the Zappe fever thing based on basically who they're playing at this point, right? I mean, he did a really good job coming off the bench in Green Bay. That's a legitimate team. But Green Bay didn't, you know, they probably never even heard of him, never mind game planned for him. So now you're starting to get teams game planning for him, but they're, as you pointed out, it's like the Lions and the Browns, and it's like inept teams.
Yeah, right.
So I think it's difficult to get a real gauge. Like, if he rips off a – because there are people out there saying, like, oh, well, if he rips off, like, a five-game winning streak, how can you take him out of the lineup? Easily, because I know he can't beat the Chiefs or the Bills or the Ravens. You know what I mean? I know that I'm not really going to be a contender with him.
So is this – I mean, are we all just, like, wasting our breath here? Is this just a formality that he's traveling with the team? He going to play tomorrow? Like, dude
– I honestly – with Bill, I have no idea. You know, I don't – I thought that – Zappe would get one more start, and that was my feeling just reading the tea leaves and everything. But it is interesting to see if ever there were a team that would travel a guy, dress him in sweats, and make him stand on the sideline, it would be the Patriots. And not as punishment, but just sort of like, hey, look, you're going to play next week. You've sort of been out of the mix of the game day operation, the sideline operation. Oh, also, by the way, you don't like what Patricia and Judge are doing. Why don't you listen in? Why don't you see how it's done? Remember when Cliff Kingsbury let Kyler Murray call plays?
Yeah.
This like preseason, yeah, basically, yeah, being like, hey, you think this is easy?
Yeah, you give it a go.
Yeah, you give it a go.
This just dawned on me. He's going to play tomorrow because I heard Zoe,
yeah,
during these last couple of weeks, while, you know, Mac Jones has been out dealing with this high ankle sprain. It's an injury that Zoe had at one point in his career. it makes no sense to have him stand on the sideline to put pressure on it. If you're going to put pressure on it, you go out and play. If you're trying to rest it, you take the time to have him off the field and resting it when it needs to heal. To stand there, you're continuing to put pressure on it.
That's true.
It's probably worse for it that you're standing in one spot and not really that mobile for three and a half, four hours. That's not doing the injury any service. If he's going and he's dealing with it anyway, you're going to play. He's going to play. It doesn't make any sense to have him stand on the sideline for 3.5 hours and put pressure on
it. That's a great point. But what if they declare him out and they don't have him stand on the side? What if they put him up in the booth?
What's that do for him?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's like forced family fun. I don't want to go. You're coming. Shut up.
Well, but do you think Belichick would be above that?
No.
Exactly. That's my point. I mean, your point is probably more salient
you
than
mean,
mine.
Could Bill act like pissed dad?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he could do that. Yeah.
That's my point. If ever there were a team that would be like, hey, yeah, your ankle's bothering you? Yeah, stand on the sideline for 3.5 hours. Or, oh, yeah, you thought you were going to play? Nah, I don't think you're good enough. Yeah, go sit in sweats and sit up in the booth, and you can tell us what the defenses look like from up there. Grab a headset, kid.
That just reminded me, like, my dad's probably listening and wouldn't remember these, but believe me, I do. Like, times of, oh, I know you're too weak to help me, but I'm going to have you stand here and watch me work for the next 2 hours so you can learn. What lesson am I learning? I don't want to be here. I want to play video games. Shut up. That's what that would be for Mac Jones. I don't want to come. My ankle's still hurting. You're going to shut up and watch and learn. Well, I don't want to learn. Tough. You're coming anyway. Yeah, no. Bill is not above pissed dad.
No, he's really not. And so that's why I can't say with 100% certainty that Mac Jones is going to play, because there is an element here of where I wouldn't put it past Bill to bring him on this trip to as a little form of punishment, but also seriously to really sort of get him reintegrated into the game day operation and maybe to have a little more respect for the game day operation. That being said, like I said, I know I asked you this off air and I don't remember seeing anybody say anything about it, but where was Mac Jones last week?
He wasn't around. Okay. No. And I know. So I brought this up too. And immediately people were like, what are you making something out of nothing for? But I don't know. Like, look, I get, you know, when Brady had his leg blown out in 08.
Oh, yeah.
When you have a bad injury like that, life is for the living. We'll see you when you're ready. Come back, see you next year. So there's no sense in standing on the sideline. But if it's an injury and you haven't been placed on IR for it, where are you? But Mike told me in his time in covering the team, and I think it was Paul Perillo might have backed him up, that the Patriots kind of have a policy. If you're injured and you're out, even if you're not on IR, like, we'll see you when we see you. You don't have to be on the sideline.
Oh, that's a nice way of putting it. It's basically, if you can't play, you're dead to us.
Yeah, like
that's
I say, really life is for the living. Yeah.
Well,
John and Grafton on Bailey Zappi. You want him tomorrow over like a 75%, 70% Mac Jones?
I have Zappi fever, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because of the way our team is built, not because of the player. We have an amazing run game. We have a very solid defense. And when you talk about the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes, we're never going to win a shootout with Mac Jones or with Bailey Zappi. The only hope of beating someone like the Bills or the Chiefs is to control the game with a quarterback who's not going to screw it up. Mac Jones isn't Patrick Mahomes. He's going to screw it up. If you look at Baltimore, I think we win the game with Bailey Zappi against Baltimore because we would not have had those picks. We would have controlled the game. So it's not that I think Zappi's a great quarterback. I think that he fits the system better, he'll follow the game plan better, and he's not going to mess it up with us. So it's not about Mac Jones versus Bailey Zappi. It's about who fits what we can do with our team, and Bailey Zappi's the guy.
I generally agree with that.
Yes,
like, look, they've dumbed down the playbook a bit for him. I'm not going to pretend that they haven't. But it has been more streamlined. They've held on to the ball, and there is a calm, cool collectedness to the kid that I haven't seen with Mac Jones, at least in this season, where I feel like Mac Jones has regressed a bit.
No, I'd agree. I just think, though, what the caller described, like, I don't think you can win in today's NFL that way.
Well, there's a real ceiling to it, right?
There's just such a small margin for error trying to win that way in today's NFL. Like, I don't think maybe you can beat one of those teams in a game, but over the course of a season, having a better record than them and then beating them in the playoffs, I don't see it. I don't think you can win that way in the NFL anymore.
Let's go to, is it Alex in the car? You're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Alex.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just got to say, Big Jim, glad to hear your dad calling in today.
And
that you didn't hang up on him, even though the phone connection wasn't so good. But I got to say, highlight of the summer was Felger. Was late getting in. I don't know. You were all alone, and he called in, tried to throw you a bone, but he couldn't hold it like a pizza, so he hung up on his ass.
There's only so much you can take with a bad phone connection, Alex. You know.
Oh, I do. I love the show, guys. Really appreciate it. Keeping the Saturday mood uplifted. Chris, good luck with all the football.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate all right, Alex. Thanks. I guess that was just a pep talk. He didn't really want
nice.
To.
Yeah, that was
thanks.
A nice call.
Sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Bill could do that for Mac Jones rather than forcing him to go on the forced family fun trip tomorrow. He has to play. I just thought about it. Again, that point by Zoe is
a great point. It's a great point.
You're not going to stand on the bad ankle for 3.5 hours. If you're going to go, you go. You go for a reason. You're going to dress. You're going to play. And did you see some of the – were you down there at all, or did you just see some of the clips? Like, the mobility was better for Mac Jones as the week progressed.
It was. I wasn't down there, and they limit how many people can go to practice anyway, so I wouldn't get to go. It's like one per affiliate, so I wouldn't get to go anyway. But I did see the video, and he did look by Friday a lot better.
What do you make of the the other thing? It's people are obviously going to focus on the quarterback, and rightfully so. I find it interesting that they didn't rule out
Damian Harris. That's kind of shocking.
Yeah, and so I can't help but wonder. They want to focus on the running game tomorrow. They need him because I question. I think Ramondre Stevenson's good. You know, I think he is. He's like a poor man's Alvin Kamara in a lot of ways, and I mean that in a complimentary way.
He reminds me more of like Eddie Lacy.
Well, for how they use him.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he does have an Eddie Lacy build. He loved him that China food. That was one of the great tweets of all time. Do you remember that? Anyway,
yes.
I do wonder if he can handle that workload. If they want him carrying 28, 32 carries a game. For two consecutive weeks, sure, but long term, I just wonder if, Harris is feeling okay and they might kind of need him.
Well, it's interesting, too, because they signed Kevin Harris, right? They elevated him from the practice squad, so that would indicate... At least earlier in the week, that indicated that maybe Damian Harris is just going to keep Mac company since they're boys.
Right, cup Alabama guys.
Yeah.
I got you, man. I know you don't want to go. Dad's pissed. He's forcing you to go. I'll come with you, too. I got nothing else going on this weekend.
He's like, I got nothing else going on, man. I can't play. I read this. You ever heard of this guy, Jim Murray? Look, he has a pretty good guide to Cleveland. We can do a few things on Saturday night.
Right.
Do a little damage in the flats.
Go to that Cleveland Yankee game tonight. That'll be quite the time. Then you go over to the new casino that they recently built there, the Jack. You have yourself a time over there. You make it an all-nighter. That's what they should do. With that, let's get into five questions for Chris Gasper. I don't know how to do with sports, huh? Now, let me guess. Of course. The computer can't fire that either.
I got five questions from Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five.
Chrissy, question number one here. I don't know if you saw this story pop up. It was one that made my blood boil earlier in the week because it had to do with the worst of the generations, Gen Z. Gen Z now says a commonly used emoji is not cool, and that is the thumb emoji, because Gen Z, Chris, says that the thumb emoji is passive-aggressive. Are you still using the thumb emoji?
Yeah, I use it all the time. In fact, it's one of my most used emojis. The thumbs up is hey, man, all good. I use it in place of, you're welcome, or when some, I'll use it instead of... I feel weird, hearting people's, tweets and stuff if it's not my family. So I'll use that instead. So
I'm with you. The heart emoji is, love for family or, we're doing each other. I use the heart emoji with my wife.
Tough. So
I wouldn't use, thanks for that recommendation, heart. And then you'd be do you want to do me, Jim? I wouldn't use a heart emoji with you or friends that are due.
Yeah, why is it passive aggressive?
Well, the thumbs up emoji, considered rude, according to Gen Z, it makes people who use it look old. Among the list of emojis that make texters look old to that horrible generation, the red heart, the clapping hands, and the check mark.
I use all of these.
Yeah, right. Same here.
I use the check mark. I use the clapping hands. And what was the other one?
What was it here? It was...
The red heart?
The red heart, the clapping hands, and the check mark.
Wow.
Got it. Check. But they say it's passive aggressive because... who knows? They're the babyest generation of all.
This is the generation that just makes crap up.
It just makes me want to use more. That's all. I don't know how I'm feeling today. Thumbs up. question number two, Chris. The world needs a better blank. What's something that someone needs to disrupt the industry with?
Wow, that is such a good question. You know what I would like to see disrupted? The internet industry. The internet providing your internet. I would like to pay a lot less for that. And I would
It'd
like,
be nice if the cable companies didn't have a stranglehold on it. Like, yeah, that there was a cable disruptor of sorts.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Like a cable, a internet, broadband, whatever you're calling it, disruptor. That would be wonderful. I would truly enjoy that.
The world needs a better Band-Aid. And, like, whatever you... It's this trash everywhere. The packaging for them is too much. They don't last, even when they say that they're waterproof.
No, you can't get them wet. No,
you know. So I'm a pretty avid golfer. I suck, but you know, I end up with all these like cuts and like hacked up hands. So I have to put Band-Aids on them occasionally because they're I play too much and I use too many Band-Aids. It looks like I look like a homeless. My bathroom looks like a homeless person. Is it because there's the sleeves on them that fall off? There's too much packaging with the effing Band-Aids, and they don't last long enough.
Also, there's like, have you seen these like new, like the fabric ones?
Those suck too. Those they all are stink.
Oh, the fabric ones are even worse. Like literally, you put that on, and if someone's talking to you and they happen to get like spittle near you, that Band-Aid's falling off.
You're the resident fashionista here in sports media in town, and especially here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. This Balenciaga nonsense, this is a bit, right? Like, did you see the fashion show they did in the mud?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, Chris, you've got to look this up. I figured you, of all people, would know of this. They recently held a fashion show that also featured Kanye West.
Okay.
And he was the first one out. Looked like he was dressed for, like, winter military. He was going to be shipped off to, like, Antarctica to fight a war.
Yeah.
The clothes are ridiculous. They just came out with a bag of chips that looks like a Lay's chip that they're selling for $2,000. Everything Balenciaga does, this is a bit. We're being gaslit. Tell me we are.
You probably are, because like they were big into, and do you remember a lot of the brands were big into the, did you see in the stores, or like if you ever went to like Saks or Neiman Marcus or whatever, you know, the stores, I've heard of them. You go into these places, and for a while it was the dad sneakers. And they're these big, chunky, clunky sneakers.
They're the ones that make these. The Balenciaga bags, the sneakers.
They started that trend. And they basically look like you mowed the lawn in them for 3 years already. And you're buying them. And they're like $800.
Or more. This is... I get it. Like, look, I've occasionally bought a fancy piece of clothing.
Oh, yeah. You have some nice stuff. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, and it's nice that you feel good when you wear it because you know you've spent some money on it. It's nice to get the compliments. But this Balenciaga stuff, like, I see it. I'm like, this is gaslighting. This isn't... People don't like this. You're only wearing this to say, like, I have money and I'm a rich dickhead.
It's pretty much like Zoolander.
It really is. It's just like... That's perfect. Perfect analogy. You just summed it up.
Yeah.
Next, Chris, what should we do with these eco-morons? I'm sure you've seen the video. The activists throwing tomato soup on Van Gogh's sunflowers. Painting, thankfully, protected by glass. I mean, what are we doing here? What should we do with these eco-activists?
I mean, they're not activists. They're terrorists.
Thank you.
I
well, there you
to
go.
To be honest, I mean, I care very much about the environment. I am not hashtag one big bag like you. I work very hard. But, I mean, come on. Here's the thing. And you've said this before, right? If you're... There is an element of some of these things with the protest where you're turning people off.
Oh, that one. I mean, people are automatically going to hate you.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
What were you thinking?
You're not accomplishing your goal, which is to rally people to your cause, raise awareness about your cause. You're having the opposite effect. And that's what frustrates me, because I think it is an important issue and I would like to see strides made on it. But this is just ridiculous and it's selfish.
Finally, got anything frivolous that's bummed you out lately? Show cancellation, store run out of something, anything frivolous that's made you say, sad, Gasper.
I do, you know, not really off the top of my head, but I do, and my wife will speak to this, I do have a remarkable streak of, like, products that I like that they'll suddenly stop making. And then I will have to hunt, like, through stores. So recently, there were these energy vitamins I really liked that were pretty good, you know, Ollie. And all of a sudden, I can't find them. And I've gone to, like, multiple stores. And I love them. They tasted like mango, kind of. And they were good. And they were, like, quick energy, like a quick burst. You know, they'd just be like,
Yeah.
You know? And they have apparently stopped making them. And I can't find them anywhere. And that bums me out.
Yeah, so maybe check eBay. But they probably discontinued them. That's how I
tried
felt.
Amazon, and they're gone.
Oh, then that sucks.
It's
gone.
Over.
Yeah, years ago, when they changed the formula for the yellow vitamin water. I think this was before 50 Cent invested in it or really bought them. That would crank you up. Like, that yellow vitamin water was like these. Like, rah! They changed that formula. And it's like, oh, God, everything I like gets ruined. Quickly, for me, it's, outside of this, and listen to the station. I really only listen to two podcasts, and that's the Kirk Minahan Show and the Tim Dillon Show. And Tim Dillon and his producer, Ben Avery, with his girlish giggly laugh, left the show. There was some sort of riff there, and I saw it. I'm like, oh, now that's something else I like that got ruined. So something frivolous that bummed me out. No more Ben Avery.
But the good news, Jim, is that there's plenty of podcasts out there. Everybody has a podcast, and you can just find another one that you like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I love those emails. And yeah, come on. Nope. Listen to mine. Nope. I don't mean to be a dick, but I'm going to be a dick about that. There's too many podcasts. We've reached peak oversaturation. I don't care about yours. With that, so concludes Gasper and Murray for this week. B-Rob, always a pleasure. Enjoy the tip-off of the Celtics season on Tuesday. Read Brian Robb's work on the Celtics Mass Live. Chris.
Do we have a Sports Hub Celtics show? Oh, not next week because we won't be here.
Yeah, that's right. By surprise. We're not here. We're not here. We did our 2 weeks.
You guys aren't here.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. But no, there's a Bruins afternoon game. So no, Sports Up Celtics show in a couple of weeks. I'll tip off as well.
Gotcha.
We have, who is it? McCone, Leroy Irvin coming up next. Get on with them at 617-779-0985. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.